In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
For quite some time now, actually for as long as the medium has existed, there's been just one heavyweight in the business of video streaming. You know this sound because 200 million people know this sound. In this industry, there is Netflix, then there's everybody else. And that might never change. But if it does, there's a good chance it starts today.
Something's happening. Something extraordinary.
Something exciting.
And snap!
What's next?
The future. That's our specialty.
Woohoo!
That was the beginning of a trailer for the Disney Plus streaming service. It launches today. You might have recognized some of those voices because Disney owns a lot of extremely popular movies and television properties and characters. And they're not alone in the streaming wars. It might seem like every network or every tech giant is launching their own service, because most of them are. But how many of these services are we actually prepared to pay for? Will more options lead to a better user experience, or will it just fracture the content in a dozen different places? And if that happens, and if it turns out that maybe not everyone is prepared to sign up for three or four of these things to get what they want, what happens to the industry? What do we watch? And which of these players survives? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Raju Mudar is an entertainment reporter for the Toronto Star, and lately his job involves a lot of streaming TV. Hey, Raju.
It is taking up a lot. The streaming wars are keeping me busy, yeah.
Well, today, Disney Plus arrives. How significant to the industry is Disney's entry?
Oh, I think this is going to be huge. I think that, listen, there's nothing at this point that we can fairly call a Netflix killer. However, if there is any company, a global entertainment company, that has sort of the library, the means, and the muscle if they want to actually hurt Netflix, it is Disney. I mean, this is a company that has been making stuff for over 100 years almost. They have a back catalog of amazing stuff. Obviously, in the last decade, they have bought Lucasfilm and Marvel. They bought Fox.
Right.
So they have everything. It's funny. The interesting thing right now is that while they've made a lot of plans for new original content for the new streaming service, it's coming. The majority of stuff that at least I want, all of the Marvel stuff, is coming in 2020. So the initial slate actually to me felt a little bit underwhelming, although it is extremely Disney. It is young skewing. It is about kids. There's some great animation. There's these Pixar shorts that are on it.
Does it have the old Disney classics that they refer to as being locked up in the vault?
Yes, it has a ton of those. It was funny. It actually only has nine Marvel movies at launch because those are all tied up by rights with everybody else. So they actually made some moves, and Endgame is going to be there because they realized they were a little light on the Marvel front. So, you know, I think the other thing that we have to remember is that all of the companies that are doing this for slightly different reasons.
Give me a sense, before you tell me about that, give me a sense of how many companies are doing this, because I've lost track.
And you should. You know what? Right now, this is one of these things where, I mean, I think the most interesting thing happening is that everybody wants to be Netflix, and Netflix is still a really big experiment. Netflix is creating all this content, and it's powered by debt. So, you know, they're not making money. They're in 190 countries, and they are, you know, they have over almost 200 million subscribers now. So it's crazy. But no, I mean, right now this is one of these things we've hit the point where the world of broadcast has moved over into the world of streaming, and also all of the tech companies want to do this. So if we're going to talk to our major players, obviously there is Netflix, there is Amazon Prime Video. Then in Canada, there's Crave, which is done by Bell Media. Disney Plus is here today. Apple TV Plus launched last week. HBO Max is coming next year. There are all the niche players like Shudder, which does horror, BritBox, which does British TV, HeyYou, which does reality TV, and then the big guy coming next year is HBO Max. And also NBC has the Peacock, which is supposed to be their version, which is supposed to be ad-supported and maybe free. But
it's also the best name of the bunch of them.
Max Plus. I mean, the other ones it all sounds like just sort of 90s aggro things. But yes, there are a lot of players. Listen, this is the world that people were saying of cable television going into sort of an app-based being everywhere. It's taken a little while. They're all here now.
When a company like Disney launches their own platform, what changes to the Netflixes and the Amazons? So you mentioned some of the content is still with the other streaming companies, but presumably eventually that will all be gone and I won't get any Marvel or any Disney on Netflix.
Well, this is kind of what we're all going to have to wait and see. The thing that Disney Plus has over Netflix is that conceivably their library is not going to change. They own it all.
Right.
So they've bought and paid for Mary Poppins over 100 times. And so Mary Poppins will always be on this service. The thing is that over the past couple of years, yes, they have signed exclusive rights deals with a lot of the other players, like Netflix, which has, I believe, Avengers Infinity War on it right now. Mm-hmm. So, yes, when that rights agreement expires, conceivably, all this stuff will be on Disney Plus. Now, I think the other thing we have to remember is it's all super early days with us. So,
yeah,
you know, it might be one of those things that Disney might find it in its best interest to actually take stuff off their service at some points and perhaps re-release it, which is what they always did with at least their packaged films and television.
Right, so, the home videos that were only available once every 10 years or whatever.
Right, but conceivably, yes, that's actually supposed to be one of the big draws. It's going to be all of Disney's content all in one place.
When you looked through all these services, were there any of them that struck you as a particularly good buy?
I think Netflix
still the bang. It's still the bang for your buck.
I think Netflix has probably the best catalog right now, and I think their originals have been incredibly impressive. I think their kids. I mean, I don't let my daughter go on YouTube unfettered.
Yeah.
Ever. And I don't think anybody should, but, you know, Netflix Kids, she loves. And so, I mean, I think you were talking about whole package. It is still Netflix. I think we have to, you know, it's funny. We talked today, Disney Plus is launching. These things usually don't launch smoothly. There hasn't been a Disney Plus app yet. It's not in the store yet. So they're basically saying it's going to come on the first day. So the thing is I think the first day could be a bit of a nightmare as everybody is signing up and logging in to this thing. And we'll see if
there's certainly a lot of demand for it.
Well, we'll see if their servers hold up on that first day. So, but I have to argue, you know, past Netflix, it is Disney is the one. It's $8.99 in Canada. Like I said, I'm not that impressed with their original stuff, but even I love hundreds of old Disney movies. And The Mandalorian is coming. And we haven't talked about that. And that is the new Star Wars series directed by Jon Favreau that is set 5 years after Return of the Jedi. It looks like old school Star Wars. What they have shown so far looks right up my alley. But let's also remember there's been lots of Star Wars that has been very excited before it arrived, and then it has disappointed. But the other thing that's going to be interesting, too, is Disney Plus is launching this stuff, like an episode per week.
Back to the days of TV.
So, and Apple TV is doing the exact same thing.
That's so interesting. Why have we moved past binging now?
Well, first off, these guys want you to shell out for the first couple of months.
Right. They don't want you to show up and binge and go.
So, I mean, I think that's actually one of the strategies of people, you know, I mean, these things all have, you know, free week trials and stuff like that. So
right.
I'm wondering if you have the patience or if you're a guy like me who really only wants to really watch The Mandalorian. If I could, I would wait the first 2 months or 3 months until it's all there, sign up for a week, binge watch it, and go. But no, I also can't wait. So
you're also not going to do that.
I will not do that. I will sign up for it, and then I'll watch other stuff as it arrives. And by the end of 3 months, like, this is the thing with all of these streaming services as well. They think it's very, very difficult to get people to sign up. But the thing is, it's really hard for people to quit.
Yeah.
And so, and even if you start thinking of quitting, it'll usually take you 3 months. And that's 3 months of that monthly payment that they want. So their whole thing is, the hard part is getting you to sign up. Once you sign up, they think they have you for a little while, and they'll keep giving you deals or try and get you to – even after that, they have your information, your data, which is also equally important in all of this for all of these players.
And you get lots of emails.
You'll get lots of emails. You'll get sign up again for a dollar. You'll get – you know, so – or the other thing is, chances are, and this is the consumer behavior that they've seen so far, is that you're just going to be lazy.
Yeah.
And you'll just pay for it
forever.
And that's really what they want.
How many services can the market bear? Like, are we supposed to pay $8, $15 for eight different services?
I've had a lot of discussions with people in the industry about this. This is funny. Right now, it's one of these things that it used to be two. They used to think you'd be paying two music as well. And now it's actually one of these things where they think you'll pay for three video services and potentially two music services. But the thing is that we have to also remember now, everything wants you to be a subscription. Oh, by the by, you should pay for the Toronto Star. yes, you know, everything. And so it's funny. I think this is one of those things. I remember Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, a couple years ago, I believe someone asked him, you know, what do you think your competitors are? And it's one of those ones where he said, like, everybody, including sleep.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all of these things are fighting for your time. And, you know, while we're talking about subscription-based streaming, you know, don't forget Marvel Unlimited. You know, that's the Marvel service where you can pay to read all the Marvel comics digitally that you want. You know, DC has its own service that has comics and streaming.
It's just an attention economy.
It's absolutely attention economy. I mean, Spotify right now just had the most success because of podcasts.
Yes, this podcast is free. You don't have to subscribe.
But so this is one of these things that, you know, Spotify is another, and podcasts are another time waster. So all of these things are all fighting for our attention and time.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
I want to ask you about piracy, because I've had this conversation with a couple of friends now. So I used to, way back in the day, pirate music when I was a teenager. Never do that anymore, because I pay for Spotify or I pay for Apple Music, and I have basically every song I could want. Like, there might be a few missing, but everything is right there. And I kind of feel the same way about Netflix, or at least I have. If the properties start becoming divvied up over eight different streaming services and I'm not willing to sign up for eight different ones to get what I want, does this open the door for a revival in piracy?
How old's your daughter?
2.5.
So, and how much time do you have? And how much effort are you willing to put into stealing? Because you used to have a lot of time, and you used to have effort, and you'd be able to put the effort into stealing. And honestly, it was pretty darn easy.
I also used to know how to do it.
Exactly. This is
now
the thing right now. Listen, the industry actually made this argument a long time ago, in that if you actually made a product that worked so well and was affordable, that it absolutely would clamp down. And it worked. Guys like you and me, I have the exact same story, in the sense that I used to do more. I feel bad about it now, but I think this is a function of...
it's a whole different thing of growing up. But I'm just talking about the logistics of, like, if I already pay for three streaming services, I really want to watch The Mandalorian, but I don't want to pay $8.99 for Disney Plus because I already have three things.
Listen, I think this is the thing to remember. Just because we don't steal things, there are a ton of people that do.
Right.
And Android boxes in Canada, I think, account for something like 7% of traffic in the primetime hours. I remember, I think Sandvine's done some studies about this. People still have Android boxes. Piracy is absolutely only going to go up because of all of these services and the way they are being divvied up. I do think that young people still do this. I mean, besides, you know, it's not just piracy. There's password sharing. There are people who also use VPN and proxies who sign into Hulu. And I mean, the thing is that it is crazy because there is so much stuff to watch. I mean, that's the other thing that we haven't talked about. there are all these services. And tell me, are you struggling to find stuff to watch?
Like, no, do you I'm not struggling. Have a huge... Like we just said, I'm struggling to find the time to watch anything.
Exactly. I mean, this is one of those things that I was perfectly fine with. You know, like I have cable and Netflix, and now there are all these more players. And it's one of these, we've reached the age of peak TV, and there is just so much stuff. And I feel super behind, and I cover this stuff.
This is your job.
And there is also no way that there... I mean, this is one of those obviously first world problems, but TV journalists now all lament that there's no way to see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it is impossible. So, I mean, I think that's the other thing. You know, how much will the market bear? And I think this is what we're all going to see and find and what, you know, because I find, you know, one of the other interesting things is the question of back catalog. There were lots of stories a while back about how the bidding wars over Seinfeld and Friends. And basically, I think Netflix paid like $500 million for Seinfeld, and HBO Max is locking up Friends for something insane as well. Yeah. And there was a great article about how no one actually knows how much back catalog is enough, how much people actually want the old stuff. It's funny. I think Friends, surprisingly, will not age, but I do think Seinfeld has.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, of those two, I would absolutely watch Seinfeld over Friends.
But that's you and other people.
Yeah. And for me, honestly, I want the new stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's a differentiator for me.
There is something to be said, and maybe this is just me, even though I know that I'll never watch everything, that I'm paying a certain amount of money just to know that it's there. And I can go and watch any Marvel movie or Disney movie or whatever at any time. I never have to think about it, never have to check, like, is this coming on? Is that coming on?
Fear of missing out. Absolutely. Yeah. No. I mean, I think that...
I want to know that I could watch The Mandalorian, even though I'll probably never get around to it.
You know, I don't know how much that is a draw for most people. I do think that, you know, this is also one of these things that I'm super excited about it, but I haven't seen it yet. And so who knows? Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like, I mean, I think the thing right now is Watchmen. I think HBO is sort of, you know, and so that's on Crave in Canada. And I think Crave is really interesting in that, you know, Netflix is the one pure video streaming play, at least in the U.S. Crave, similarly, actually kind of is, except, of course, it has the backing of Bell Media. And so it's terrestrial cable making sure right. that they don't get forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Apple, Disney, and Amazon Prime, I mean, Amazon Prime and Apple in particular, it's sort of bundles, right?
Right.
Like, Amazon Prime, you get it because you get the shipping, and you get the nice the video stuff's on the side, even though, to be honest, the quality of that is getting better. Apple, all about keeping you in their ecosystem.
Right.
And, you know, now... And the other thing, too, with their playing, what they're really doing is that, you know, Apple TV Plus wants to be sort of a hub for all of their video services. So when you go into it in the app or on your Apple TV at home, there's one place where you can buy stuff, new stuff, other channels, and put it in there. So it's kind of like it wants to own your online TV experience if you were already in the Apple TV streaming universe. And then Disney is interesting. It's one of these classic things. They have a back catalog. You know, they've been selling it to other people. I think they realize now that we can sell it to our hardcore fans, but also find out what they're watching, find out what they have, and also just keep them a little bit closer and keep that money coming in all the time.
Let's pick a random date, and I'm going to say 3 years from now. Will there be more streaming services or fewer because some of them have started and realized they couldn't get the subscriber base and they're gone?
I think in this situation, you have to think there's going to be some consolidation. I think that there are so many of these. I think that, you know, I think some of these guys might offer some sort of bundle. I think Hulu kind of already is that bundle, but now it's owned by one company in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, it's going to see what the market can bear and how many of these services and who will win. I think the question is how much content is enough? You know, Netflix is one of these things that, you know, they're putting so much stuff on every month and they're paying for so much things. The thing is that, like, is there a point where they stop or does that keep on going forever? And then the other guys is do they have to, you know, they're ramping up right now, particularly Apple and Disney. Do they want to get to that point or is there, you know, is this a zero-sum game from at some point where it's like, okay, this is enough stuff that we have here and we've satisfied our customers enough and, you know, as part of our whole package. So, but no, I absolutely think that, I also think, you know, the other thing we have to wait and see is the NBC one, the Peacock. I think that's going to be very interesting because I think free ad-supported absolutely has a place in this world. NBC does have a history of some excellent shows and if you have it all in one place, will people be willing to watch ads? I mean, here's the thing. We're also going to find out right now if people care about binge watching or if they're willing to go along with one episode at a time again.
Last question, and you mentioned it earlier. None of these companies are making money right now.
Well, that's not fair. I said that, no, listen, HBO is making money. People are making money.
Right.
But the thing is the streaming things for these things right now.
Apple and Disney are definitely making money.
Exactly.
But so, on these platforms, like if Netflix isn't turning a profit.
Netflix is like $20 billion in debt, and they say that they are, and they recently just took $2 billion more to make more content. This is the investor thing. You know, they're a darling. They have the subscribers. I think their argument is that as long as you keep growing and they keep hitting their subscriber numbers, there's going to be some sort of magical inflection point where the money coming
where
in.
Where is that point?
I have no idea. Smarter people than me. And listen, Netflix is the company that's driving all these people to do the other things. I mean, Disney and Apple TV, both of these companies are in ramp-up mode right now. Mm-hmm. But let's be real. I think that, you know, Apple could buy Netflix with the chump change in their couch if they really wanted to.
Well, Apple can lose $10 billion a year on this streaming service, and as long as they want to keep doing it.
Exactly,
they
and they're perfectly fine. And for Disney, I mean, this is one of these things that they're just putting already their assets, their most valuable assets, in another way in front of their customers. So, I mean, yes, this may cost them something to get it up and going right now, but they also paid like $4 billion for I think Marvel and Lucasfilm separately, and both of those purchases have made them $30 billion in the time. So they're perfectly fine.
Great. It's just me that has to pay.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and or go back and find out how to pirate things or find a way to share a password
or
something.
I'll just subscribe and then forget I subscribed and pay $8.99 a month for the rest of my life.
And the thing is that's just it, you know, I hope you use it then. I hope you watch it because that's the thing. Finding the time to watch all these things is going to be really difficult, I think, for everybody.
Thanks, Raju.
Thanks, Jordan.
Raju Mudar, entertainment reporter for the Toronto Star. That was the big story. We are and remain free, but you can subscribe. Find us at thebigstorypodcast.ca or on Twitter at thebigstoryfpn or in any podcast service. If you have one that lets you rate us, do that. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.